right. BA started up. Let's go to a show where we're rocking all night. I got an army, wanna party with 30 extra guys from the dusk to dawn till our minds are gone. Hang out with hangovers and hit up a con. Houston, Texas, are you feeling the love from a giant rocket ship coming down from above? Well,
Space City Nerd.
Don't you know, well,
Space City Nerd.
That's right, we're the kings and the queens of the things that you deem absurd. Sing it with me, y'all.
Space City Nerd.
All right, nerdcore.
Got that.
Chip tune.
Got that.
Read the magazine to check out the podcast. Action figures.
Got that.
Board games.
Got that.
TV shows and video games. Yeah, we got that. Take flight on a broken satellite. All right.
And welcome to the Space City Nerd Podcast for the week of, what's this week?
Today is July 10th.
Okay, so July 10th.
And so by the time they listen to it, it'll probably be the
July 11th, maybe,
yes.
Something like that. Quality is a little bit on today because we are not using our giant headsets. We decided to come hang out and... We already recorded the middle part, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit.
Also, I'm going to sound better tonight.
Yes.
I'm not using a cheap headset.
Rex isn't using his $10 Logitech headsets.
Do you have a headset, man? I always saw you on, like, the Skype, which is, like, sitting in front of your TV with a microphone.
I was doing that because it sounds better than my headset.
Okay.
So I heard tonight...
Using the Kinect.
Yeah.
So we're here tonight, we're on a nice couch, actually we're at Sean's place, and that's why we have Sean on the show, because we're at his place, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Mikasa.
Hello. And we have Rex.
Hey guys.
And we have our other friend that we picked up right now, his name is Sean as well, but for the sake of not being confused, we're going to call him Sean Tay.
Right? Okay. I'll go with it, man, just to make things easy.
Sean Tay.
Yeah.
And hey. And that will be LaShonda.
LaShonda. So, before we get started, the middle part was, it took place at the smokery in Clear Lake. A couple of us, we are cigar fans. We like to, you know, smoke a stogie, as witnessed in the burlesque, episode. When we were, what would you say? Smoking stogies?
Chomping stogies and ogling broads.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. It was very classy, I think. But the middle part is going to take place at the smokery in Clear Lake, which is actually like 10 minutes away from here. We hung out. They had a Rocky Patel rep, and now we're all smoking Rocky Patels, pretending we're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Which
yeah, see? Yeah, yeah, see?
The only reason
this Rocky Patel is a sweet smoke, let me tell you.
The only reason Sean's smoke alarm isn't going off is because
I took the batteries out.
The batteries are out.
So. That's the story.
If you ever want to burn down Sean's house,
try this at home.
I prefer you burn down where I work first and then burn down my house.
So, Sean, before we get go into the cigar stuff and everything like that. Mm. Yesterday, no, Tuesday, was it?
Monday.
Monday, never mind. You went to go check out the 17-minute extended...
Yeah, TV. Yeah. So the AMC 30 up there at Gulf Point, they had like a sneak peek at like 17 minutes of Guardians of the Galaxy. So I went to go see that. It was like one of the see it first things. Had my ticket all printed out. I went there and showed up. And the funny thing to me was just like, okay, it's like on the ticket it says like 17 minutes of exclusive footage. There were people like walking out of the theater pissed off that it wasn't like the full movie plus 17 minutes. Oh. And it was just like, what, you thought you were just going to get a free IMAX 3D ticket for a movie that's out at the end of the month with exclusive footage? Like, that was ridiculous.
We wanted the director's cut.
People honestly thought it was like the director's cut of a movie that hadn't even been out yet. Like, but, you know, there was a good enough crowd and we went in there, you know, sat down and watched it. It was 17 minutes, like, it was basically, it looked to be, like, from, like, the first quarter of the movie. Like, it sort of picked up, it wasn't the beginning of the movie, it picked up, like, when they were all, like, arrested. So, it opened up with that scene where they're all being, like, kind of scanned in by the Nova Corps with John C. Reilly.
Sweet.
And so we got to see uncensored Chris Pratt middle finger. So that was special.
Oh, man.
But it was actually pretty cool because like this was before like they came out with like that new exclusive trailer.
Yeah.
So they start in that 17 minutes. They started talking about Ronan the Accuser and you know the Mad Titan Thanos, and so it was like really cool to be like, oh man, they're just straight up just diving headfirst into mythology here. This is great.
Yeah, I have to say, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm not big on, like, superhero movies and things at all, but Guardians of the Galaxy, despite not being that familiar with the source material, has me more excited than any superhero movie really ever has. Like, the casting's just great, and James Gunn is one of my favorite, like, filmmakers ever.
Right.
I even like the Scooby-Doo live-action movies.
I mean, and it has, like, a nice, like, kind of James Gunn feel to it, because they kind of, like, it follows them, like, going into prison and stuff like that, and you kind of have, like, your prison scene. But it's, at that point, it just basically becomes them kind of, like, all talking to each other, you know? So you get, there were a lot of, basically, Rocket Raccoon and Star-Lord scenes, where Rocket Raccoon is basically, like, he's the exposition captain of the movie.
Yeah.
So he's like, here's the story, here's what this is, here's what that is. You know, you got a couple, like, Vin Diesel lines, like, I am Groot, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
Dave Bautista was pretty good in it. You know, he kind of had his couple, like, chuckle-worthy lines. Because they're going to play him a little bit more like, he's Drax, so he takes everything literally.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of the comedy of that one. But it really felt like they were doing sort of, and I know this is kind of, people bandy about this comparison a lot for this one, but it's like, it did have like a kind of a cool Star Wars-y kind of feel, where they're just like Han Solo just talking to Luke Skywalker type of feel to it, you know? Like, we have like these rebels, and it's just sort of, you know, they're in this crappy situation, but they haven't lost their sense of humor about it.
Yeah, and I feel like it's been a while since James Gunn's really done anything. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last thing he really, like, worked on, like, his last big project was writing Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah.
Like, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Which I hated.
Yeah, Jesus didn't like it. I liked it a lot for reasons other than the gameplay, because it wasn't a very fun game.
Right.
I despised it, and it made me hate James. Well, no, the story was
pretty bad. The writing was so good.
No, I did not like it. It was so, like, cliche, like, badly cliche. I know, like, after that, Shadows of the Damned came out.
Shadows of the Damned was the year before.
Yep.
Was it?
Yeah, because Killer is Dead came out the year after Lollipop Chainsaw.
Lollipop Chainsaw should have been a level in Shadows of the Damned.
I think that
would have been the perfect. Oh, and those are my two cats. Jacking with each other.
I do. I don't know. I think Shadows of the Damned spoiled me when it came for time for Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah, Shadows of the Damned. Okay, so I never finished Shadows of the Damned because there was that. I got stuck on the taste of my big boner, and I got stuck there for like 3 hours on that part because I was playing it. I started the game. I was playing it on hard, and that part was just like ripping me to shreds for some reason. And the only thing Garcia says that entire, like, thing every time you fire is, taste my big boner! So I got so put off by that, like, I went back to it a week later, and it tore me to shreds again.
Finally, that's not the end of, the boner jokes in that. Like,
yeah.
You get an upgrade for the gun that's, like, what is it, like, it turns it into the big red boner that shoots explosive gooey gobs.
Yeah. But it wasn't that, like, I got so tired of that one, like, hearing him repeatedly say, taste my big boner, and when I finally got past that part, I was just kind of like, I have no interest in playing this game, because when I finally got past that part, and it wasn't, like, it was so fucking repetitive, and then I remember Lollipop Chainsaw, I almost put it away immediately, because there's the zombie baseball scene that plays exactly like Taste My Big Boner and Shadows of the Damned, and they throw zombie baseball at you in like within the first 30 minutes of Lollipop Chainsaw, and I was like, fuck, more of this?
More boner talk.
And it wasn't boner talk, it's just how repetitive and unfun that section of game is. Well, like, it is so not entertaining to play, and then they throw it at you again 30 minutes into Lollipop Chainsaw, and I was like, fuck, this is not fun. I don't like this.
You can't hold that stuff against James Gunn, though, because it's like, he wrote dialogue and he wrote a general story. Like, he's not...
That was more of a problem with Suda51, and then after that, he made a whole fucking game for Kinect that was based around those stupid, like, rail shooter, but you're not on a rail, you're just standing in play sequences for Kinect. I forgot what it's called, but you're, like, throwing baseballs at...
Rise of Nightmares?
No. It was on Xbox Live Arcade, and it was essentially, they expanded zombie baseball into a whole game, but you played it with a Kinect. and it was really stupid, and I just, I don't get why, I don't get why Suda51, who is another person that I really like a lot, has to continuously throw those into his games that he doesn't, hasn't even personally worked on in a while.
Because he wants you to taste his big boner.
Yeah.
Well, and, I mean, it remains to be seen, like, whether or not Guardians of the Galaxy has any more, like, little kind of Easter egg nuggets like that. I mean, I will say, like, again, so I don't know if this counts as a spoiler, but there was a surprising cameo.
Yeah, I was about to say that cameo.
It's just, like, I won't tell you, like, where it is, but he managed somehow in, like, a multi-million-dollar Marvel movie to put Lloyd Kaufman somewhere in the movie.
Yeah. I'm not surprised, though, because, like, they go way back. Like, that...
The creator of the Toxic Avenger and the guy who pretty much invented just the D-cinema.
Yeah.
Just boobs and gore for no reason.
That's how James Gunn got his start, though. Like, one of his first movies was Romeo and Juliet, which everyone should pause the podcast and go watch immediately.
It's on YouTube. Come back an hour
and then be horrified. Back like, an hour why did you make us watch?
Welcome back.
Yeah.
So, overall, you're excited more for the movie?
Yes. Yeah. I kind of went into that preview being like a little like, okay, like they have good trailers and stuff like that, but that once I saw like actually like how it was filmed, I was really excited during that 17 minutes to be like, damn, like it's really well put together, like it moves at a nice clip, and they've already kind of said, like I started reading a bunch of articles on it, they already said that like this movie is going to have more Marvel characters in it than any other Marvel movie that they've made so far. Like he just wants to like reference as many people like cosmically as possible, and so it's like, so in the interview he was already referencing like, oh yeah, you know, we got the Kree in there, we got this other alien race in there. It's just like, geez, dude. Like,
is there any truth to the rumor that there was a line that said donkey balls are great in it?
There could be, like, I don't know, post credit sequence. You heard it here first.
Yeah, don't spoil it for everybody.
Stay for the credits. You can see Rock Raccoon tell someone to lick donkey balls.
They are great.
I'm kind of... Did you see that they found Adam Warlock's cocoon in the trailer?
Really?
Yes.
So. Oh, I didn't even see that. Like, I know there's like a quick shot of like the Beholder and stuff, and Michael Rooker is playing some dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes me want to go and like start reading like a whole bunch of like the cosmic Marvel stuff. Like, no,
it's good.
Annihilation.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I've read a little bit of it and I liked it a lot more than traditional. Like,
I
even, like who do you think has like the better like expanded like kind of cosmos, like DC or Marvel?
It depends, because DC has the whole new gods.
Yeah,
you know, the new gods is amazing, and that's all Jack Kirby right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But
Marvel has like all the Eternals and
yeah, well Marvel really started hitting it hard with the cosmic stuff, with like Annihilation and all that. I mean, even the 90s like cosmic stuff was pretty cool, when the Guardians of the Galaxy were like I forget their names right now, but they're not the people that we know right now as them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had also like the Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity Wars, all those were awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like, I don't know, I'm a sucker for like alternate reality stuff, and so like watching in Infinity Gauntlet like the two, you know, like the evil versions of every hero. Mm-hmm. Pop up, that was really cool. So I mean I think they're both in theory both equal, but I think Marvel's been able to execute it in a better way.
I agree with that, because like one of my favorite books right now is the Silver Surfer from Allred, because he just has like that talent of just like creating like these planets and these races of people that just like are just like so just like off the wall, and it's because it's like, dude, it's the universe, it's endless, like we can make like whatever planet, whatever people we want, and then we populate that, you know. So they keep like adding on to the, you know, basically the extent of it. It's like, oh no, this is the end of the universe, and like, but each publisher basically has like their established sort of, like, this is, like, the root of their entire universe type of story, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you think Nova's going to show up?
I think he kind of has to. Like, there's... That'd be, like, a really cool, like, kind of just, you know, thing. Like, for I mean, for God's sake, like, they have the Nova Corps in there. Like, they have Glenn Close cast as Nova Ensign. Nova Prime. Sorry. Like, Glenn Close. It's like Glenn Close, Michael Rooker, John C. Reilly are in a comic book movie with the talking raccoon.
And Chris Pratt.
And Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah, and Lloyd
Kaufman. It's just like, I don't even know what to think. And Vin Diesel voices a tree. Like, we are beyond any sort of expectations now.
Well, I mean, the reason I asked that, too, is because, I'm a big action figure collector, and the Marvel Legends series came out for that, and one of the figures is Nova. I mean, of course, he's like in his comic outfit, but it still kind of leaves speculation. Of course, the other comic figure that came out with it was Cosmic Iron Man. I think that's just to put an Iron Man on shelves, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But because I want to do the Build-A-Figure group, but I'm like, do I really have to buy like a Cosmic Iron Man whose armor looks really crappy? But
that's Marvel Legends for you, man. It's always like there's like one figure in there. Everyone's gonna be like, ah, really?
Yeah.
I gotta buy him for the right arm.
Well, that's like with Black Widow. Well, everybody wanted Black Widow. Mm-hmm. But she came for the Winter Soldier series of Marvel Legends. Everyone wants Black Widow. She comes with the torso from Android.
Yeah.
So that's like the major component of that figure. I lucked out, found one at retail. But these things are like Black Widow is going for $80, packed one to a case.
Yeah.
You know, that's insane. And so he's skyrocketing too because he's packed.
Well, that series has Nova and Rocket Raccoon.
But I think, well, collectors are more. We're waiting for a Nova figure like that, you know, and so
wasn't a Nova already?
No. So this is like his modern armor. It looks really good.
Where he's got the Nova Prime helmet.
Exactly, and so, you know, to put one to a case and sell it out to people would say, well, it's one Nova and two of those Cosmic Iron Men.
Okay.
So, but I'm wanting to see that movie too. I know there's some people. There's actually people that exist that don't want to see it.
To those people, I just say boo to you. Go watch Blue Velvet over and over again. I guess I don't know.
Blue Velvet's so good.
Blue Velvet is good.
You could have thought of another movie.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a movie that is universally disliked. But
Transformers 2 would be a good one.
Go watch Transformers.
I heard this one was pretty bad too, the new one.
Go watch Transformers.
After the first one, they're all terrible.
Yeah, I heard the new one's got like some really like silly subtext in it as far as whoever wrote it really had some major like daddy issues and used this movie to express them. Which is kind of an interesting thing. And also I heard I haven't even seen anything from this movie, but apparently the new CG renders for all the Transformers are just really creepy and more human than normal.
Isn't it like 3 hours long?
Yeah.
3 hours. Crazy, man.
Like, what? I don't even know what the plot is. Like, Mark Wahlberg finds a Transformer.
A Transformer.
Okay, so it's typical. That's like the line from the trailer. It's a Transformer.
It's a typical, like, because now that we're about almost halfway into this decade, there's been a lot of stories about, like, dads protecting their young. Like, it's just as... I feel like every other story is dads protecting their young, and Transformers, of course, had to hop on that bandwagon, and Mark Wahlberg is a dad protecting his daughter, and they go on a road trip, just like The Last of Us, or most stories that have been written.
Dads protecting
this
their
decade. Own. Yeah, dads protecting their children.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. Like, these are writers and directors, you know, they grew up on Transformers, they watched it, and so they get into that age now where they're in a position to write these movies, direct these movies, like, you know, they're probably like, you know, 30s, 40s, like, what do you think they're going through right now?
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
They're probably starting to have kids, and they're like, oh, well, you know, like, my ideal hero is a dude who, like, finds a Transformer and wants to protect his family at the same time. Yeah. Whereas, like, 5-6 years ago, it was, would it be cool if, like, a 20-something kid, like, found a Transformer and then used it to bang the hot chick?
Just so they can go out and have a designated driver when they get on there.
Yeah.
Just totally getting hammered at the bar and be like, don't worry about it, Bumblebee's got this.
Oh, fuck. What if Transformers 5 was a sequel to that License to Drive movie from the 90s with Corey Feldman and Corey Haim? And the whole thing was about them trying to get... Somebody write this fan fiction right now. Like, they're trying... Like, they find a Transformer and they use it to go to cool parties and... Like...
No, that's not a Transformers movie, Rex. That's a GoBots movie. Is there a chance for no? It's just a GoBot. Oh man.
Oh god.
You can take us to the bar.
GoBot starring Corey Feldman, and then during the ending credits, he raps a song about taking the GoBot to go. Go get drunk with Corey's angels as like Playboy Playmates that are like the Kmart Playboy Playmates.
Oh god.
Dude, this is fuck. Delete that so I can pitch that to a Hollywood executive and they don't steal my idea and I don't get credited
can
for
you,
it.
Can you just say copyright?
Yeah.
Copyright Rex.
Hashtag copyright 2014. I made that idea, don't steal it.
You know, at Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
With the whole designated driver thing, I can imagine that Michael Bay will still figure out a way to get an explosion in, tucked away in there. You know, somehow or another, you run over a pothole and it just kind of sets off all the...
No, there's a... You just, like, see, like, his buddies, like, leave the bar. They're, you know, half as... You know, way more trash than he is, and they get in their car. That's not a Transformer. Yeah. And then you just see it explode in the back because they...
Yeah.
You know, no drunk driving, you know?
It could be like a more PSA, like...
Yeah.
Always have a designated driver or you could blow up on the road too.
Oh man,
Michael Bay should do PSAs.
Oh man.
So we're going to take our first break and leave you something from the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. Also, Sean scored some posters, some of the exclusive posters. If you want one, name, go on our Facebook and comment on the podcast post. And let us know who you would like to see cameo, since there's going to be so many Marvel characters cameoing in Guardians of the Galaxy. We'll choose like the most absurd one. It doesn't have to be... let's keep it Marvel.
Because I was going to cross universes, and I want Lil Sebastian from Parks and Rec to show up. And then Chris Pratt sings 5,000 Candles in the Wind with Rocket Raccoon playing like a mandolin.
All right. Well,
that would be so good. Yeah, let's do that. That would be the best thing that could happen in that movie.
Comment the most absurd cameo scenario that you can think of for Guardians of the Galaxy.
You have to cast it too. How about
cast
that?
It as yes. Well.
Cast it in two.
And you can't use a little Sebastian because I just did that.
Yeah.
And we will go and we'll mail you off a not really nice Guardians of the Galaxy poster from the sneak peek event. We're going to travel in time somehow and do what we did about 30 minutes ago at the smoke ring, and we'll be right back.
You don't have to pull back the curtain completely. I mean,
oh, okay. Well, we're going to take a trip through time.
Pizzazz, pizzazz, come on. We're going to give it to you. Pizzazz, pizzazz, come on.
And we'll be right back with an interview with Austin Moore from the rep from Rocky Patel.
Hello!
So we're here with Austin Moore. He's the Texas regional
manager, mostly South Texas,
for the cigar company Rocky Patel. And first of all, we want to get him to tell us a little bit of a history of the Rocky Patel cigar line.
Rocky Patel started out as Indian tobacco originally. As Rocky's kind of brainchild when he was an attorney out in Los Angeles back in the late 80s, early 90s. I guess somewhere in that ballpark. He probably had an afro at that point. And it's all gone by now. He was rocking it out there in L.A. doing the attorney thing. And, you know, this is during the cigar boom in the mid-90s and early 90s. And so he was out there and just wasn't impressed with the quality. I mean, there's all these cigars coming out, you know, just out of the woodworks. And he just wasn't impressed with the quality. And so his big thing right from the, you know, from the start was quality control. And that's when he started, you know, he smoked it a little bit, started smoking some more on different sets of movies, actually, you know, with Arnold Schwarzenegger and all these guys from back then. And then just kind of got a passion about it. Just like anything, I mean, he was a chef. He had his own cooking show on TV for a while.
Oh, wow.
Probably public access, I don't know, but it was there, though. So he has an incredible palate for food, scotch, wine, you know. I mean, all sorts of cool stuff. He just, that's his thing. And finding out the finer points of, you know, whatever it may be, things we enjoy, food and booze and smokes and all the good stuff like that.
Love to watch a cooking show where the dude just had a cigar the entire time, just kind of, you know, cooking to pair it with it.
That's a really good idea for a cooking show.
Yeah. Well, that Rocky's way, he may jump on that. He does like a thing, I think, he's had a couple of events where, like the grand prize is Rocky comes to your house and he cooks for you. And dude, he's awesome. He really is.
Have you ever gotten to meet the man?
Oh, yeah. I met him when I was about 16 years old, 17 years old. My dad were in business together. And that's how I got into it.
I was going to ask if were you already smoking like at 16?
No, I was not. I was a promising, strapping young buck. It's all been downhill ever since. No, I met him when I was about 17, 18 years old. My dad and him were in business together, and I came home late one night, and here's this guy. This is bad. But I come home, and I was like, why is there a Mexican in my bed? Who is this guy? And I wake up the next morning, and there they are, rolling cigars on the coffee table, and, you know. And then this was right, you know, they were still Indian Tobacco at this point. And they may have been Rocky Patel at this point. I think they had already changed the name. What had happened was Indian Tobacco just wasn't doing it. And they're, you know, had all these cigars made and couldn't sell them. And then they're kind of picking up slowly but surely. But, you know, he was on the brink of going bankrupt and just calling it quits. Well, he, you know, changed the name of the company to Rocky Patel. Came out with a couple of vintage lines, which the 90s, the 92s, the 99s. And then those started picking up and, you know, started gaining some steam. And then we came out with the Edge. And the Edge was a game changer. You know, 100 count box with these big trays and nice full body smoke. And then they've kind of grown legs over the years. Now we have, I don't know how many facings of Edge, you know, just the Sumatra, the Habano, the Maduro, the Corojo, Edge Light, you know, different sizes, the B-52, that little, you know, big 6x, you know, 5.25x60, and then we just came out with one called the Howitzer, which is a 7x70. Yeah, it's a monster. It's, you know, a lot of people in the industry have been doing it, and so we figured, hell, why not? But that wrap relief on those edges can kind of, you know, can back it up, because a lot of those 6x60s and bigger ring gauges you get, you're going to, you know, lose a lot of that flavor because 60-70% of the flavor comes out of your wrapper leaf. So it's a ratio thing. So you got a lot of that filler and binder, or mostly filler, that are competing with that wrapper leaf. And I think Edge has been one of those that can, you know, no matter what size it is, it's a wonderful smoke. And it's kind of, it's been a workhorse for us and definitely a foundation for this company to where we can, you know, come out with a bunch of other stuff like our Decade 95 rated. That's out of Honduras. That was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, but the Decade Torpedo 95 rating. That's been just great, great smoke. Box press, real velvety wrap relief, just draws like a straw. It's effortless.
And I can see, because you got, like, this shelf here, like, I mean, for the listeners at home, you know, we're at the smoke ring in Webster. There's just, like, boxes, and, like, they're huge boxes, too. Like you said, like, the huge trays. And, like, so many of them are like depleted because they just go so fast.
Yeah, you know, people come in there and they just manhandle these things, just whatever they can fit in their hands. You know, they'll come out of there and grab them. And they're just, you know, for the price and what you're getting out of it, you just, it's tough to beat. And it's been copied by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think we're still at the top of the hill. So going back, you know, Rocky, as far as lineage goes, you know, he started out, did that Indian Tobacco, and then, you know, changed the name to Rocky Patel, Vintage, The Edge, and then, you know, Decade came out. Decade was, you know, it was probably, you know, 5-6 years ago, somewhere around there, and that was huge, you know, just really boosted this company. So now we're, you know, kind of gone on from there, went to the 15th, and then we started getting into Nicaragua a lot. So most of our stuff, you know, for the most part, you know, has been out of Honduras. And now, you know, Rocky kind of wants to get, you know, more of an influence in there in the factories and get a little, you know, not necessarily small batch boutique, but, you know, he wants more control over, you know, who's, you know, the rollers and, you know, who's working there. Because a lot of these companies, and ours included, you know, will go to these other factories like General and places like that and get cigars made. So we went into Nicaragua, and we have a factory, and I believe we have like 51% of it. So it's ours, you know, majority ownership at least. And so we've been coming out with like the 15th anniversary. The newest one is a Platinum that we came out with last year, another box pressed Nicaraguan Puro with a lot of pop, a lot of spice, a lot of pepper. So that's where we're going now. So there's definitely a definitive line, I think, in some of the stuff that we're coming out with versus what we had come out with, and a lot more variety, you know. And then, you know, something's out of Nicaragua, it's going to taste a little bit different out of the stuff that's in Honduras. Has a little more bite to it, and that volcanic ash, and absolutely, just the soil's different. And so you get lots of cool stuff, you know. I mean, the combinations are just endless, and that's what makes this industry neat and why we have so many great companies that keep coming out with just high quality stuff. And we're doing the same.
Now, like, I know, like, people are listening, like, why the hell are they talking about cigars on a show, you know, where we normally talk about video games and comic books and things like that?
Gotcha.
But, you know, most of us here at Space City Nerd, we do enjoy a cigar every once in a while. You can catch us outside our hotels at cons at like 4 a.m. smoking, you know, a cigar. but there's, you know, just like there's video games, there's, you know, craft beer has its like nerdom to it, and comic books and all that. The cigar industry also has that definition of like collectability in a sense.
Sure, yeah, you know, a lot of guys, you know, like to set their humidors up and, you know, line them up, you know, pretty little soldiers, you know, just sitting there waiting to serve. And so, yeah, I mean, it's small batch kind of stuff. And we do that from time to time. You know, Rocky on his birthday, 226. So every February 26, we put out an anniversary stick. So it started with Rocky's 50th anniversary. It was a $20 stick, which is definitely pricey, you know, for, you know, just about everybody as far as cigars go. But I think it warranted that. I think it's, you know, I'm one of those people, I don't, you know, if it's $20, you know, whatever. As long as it's good and you like it, then maybe worth $50 or, yeah, you know, yeah, who knows. But yeah, we came out with the 50th anniversary. It's awesome, awesome stick. Box press is by far one of my favorites we've ever put out. But that was a small batch deal, collectible for sure. Came in a box with, you know, Swarovski crystals and... Yeah. Oh yeah! Oh, dude.
It's so my.
Yeah, we should have put some spinners on or something.
It's like, you comic nerds can keep your chromium covers. We got Swarovski.
Yeah, exactly. excuse me.
Oh man.
Yeah, so we did that, and then we came out with again the year after that, and then this year, and so yeah, we'll start doing small batch stuff. Rocky doesn't just, you know, do it just to do it. He, you know, he'll find tobacco that he really loves, but he can't put it out on a mass scale. Because that's the hardest thing in cigars, period, is you come out with a great cigar, is to do it year after year after year. Yep. I mean, this is an organic thing, a living, breathing thing that changes over time. And that's another cool caveat, yes, about cigars is, you know, these things are...
It's about the hunt a little bit. You
sure,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then guys will love, yeah, they love it. You know, who does a real good job of that? Tatawahe, you know, they got some cool stuff. Room 101, you know, all sorts of neat stuff keeps coming out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just walking around in here, like, you know, it's like there's so many like unique takes on like the wrapping or the box.
Oh sure, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to say like the box is kind of like their big, like, you know, someone's got like really cool expression with that, you know, like Rock Patel is like simple. It's like understated. It's just like it's a box, but you can store a lot in there. Yeah, but then you'll have like ones. I mean, to right there, there's like one that's just like labeled Zombie Antidote.
Yeah,
it looks like a big medicine jar. You know?
Yeah, you know, and then some of these are, you know, furniture companies that put cigars in it. You know, like, you get some pretty elaborate things, and whatever, you know, whatever puts it out the door.
So it's like twice the collectability. You have the boxes.
Yeah, oh, and yeah, the cigars. Yeah. The boxes are great.
Mm-hmm. And the cigars might not be as good.
You look over there, you'll see the Byron jars, the ceramic jars, and but you also got to know that the fancier the box, you know, the higher the price on a lot of these things. Yeah. So you got to be careful about that. Those things cost money to make.
Well, that's a good tip for our listeners who might be thinking of like trying something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not everything. It's just, but it does. It's in the price for sure.
Well, thanks a lot, Austin, for taking some time with us, and thank you to the Smokery in Clear Lake. I think they have one in Sugarland as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe. So there you go. So you can go to Sugarland. You can come down to Clear Lake, and both have an excellent selection of cigars, and also be sure to try some Rocky Patels if you ever get a chance.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this, and thanks again to Austin.
Barrio lo vi pasar con el tumbao que tienen los guapos al caminar, las manos siempre en los bolsillos de su gabán, pa' que no sepan en cuál de ellas lleva el puñal. Usa un sombrero de ala ancha de medio lado y zapatillas por si hay problemas salir volado, lentes oscuros pa' que no sepan que está mirando, y un diente de oro que cuando ríe se ve brillando. Como a tres cuadras de aquella esquina una mujer va recorriendo la acera entera por quinta vez, y en un zaguán entra y se da un trago para olvidar que el día está flojo y no hay clientes para trabajar. Un carro pasa muy despacito por la avenida, no tiene marcas pero todos saben que es policía. Pedro Navaja, las manos siempre dentro al gabán, mira y sonríe y el diente de oro vuelve a brillar. Mientras camina pasa la vista de esquina a esquina, no se ve un alma, está desierta toda la avenida. Cuando de pronto esa mujer sale del zaguán y Pedro Navaja aprieta un puño dentro del gabán, mira pa' un lado, mira pa' el otro y no ve a nadie, y a la carrera pero sin ruido cruza la calle. Mientras tanto en la otra acera va esa mujer refunfuñando, pues no hizo pesos con qué comer. Mientras camina del viejo abrigo saca un revólver esa mujer y va a guardarlo en su cartera pa' que no estorbe. Un 38 Smith & Wesson del especial que carga encima pa' que la libre de todo mal. Pedro Navaja, puñal en mano, le fue pa' encima. El diente de oro iba alumbrando toda la avenida. Quiso fácil, mientras reía el puñal le hundía sin compasión. Cuando de pronto sonó un disparo como un cañón, y Pedro Navaja cayó en la acera mientras veía a esa mujer que revólver en mano y de muerte herida. Ay, le decía, pensaba, hoy no es mi día, estoy salá. Pero Pedro Navaja, tú estás peor, no estás en nada. Y créanme, gente, que aunque hubo ruido, nadie salió. No hubo curiosos, no hubo
nadie lloró, solo un borracho con los dos muertos se tropezó, cogió el revólver, el puñal, los pesos y se marchó, y tropezando se fue cantando desafinado. El coro que aquí les traje y da el mensaje de mi canción: la vida te da sorpresa, sorpresa te da la vida, ay Dios.
All right, so now that we came back from our cigar trip, we decided to play a little bit that place is the whole, you know, Central American. We played some Ruben Blades. That was his interpretation of Mac the Knife, that was by Bobby Darin, which Sean just showed us was originally like some scary German song.
1928.
Yeah. From 1928, so.
From the Dreipenische Opera.
Whatever that means. You know,
Three Penny Opera.
Oh, the what?
The Three Penny Opera.
Three Penny Opera.
So which there was the basis for Chicago.
There you go.
Da-na-na-na.
Sean just like showed us a lot.
I'm more. Yep. I'm more. The more you know. All of
you didn't even have to phone a friend for that one, man.
Shout out to college.
What is college?
It's a place where you earn a degree and it just sits on your wall and does nothing.
Yay!
And with expensive books.
Yeah.
Actually, I was an English major, so my books were not expensive. They were just, you could basically get all your course books for like $15.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but now though, nowadays you've seen the prices like skyrocket on that. That's crazy.
If you get a professor that's like, read, buy my book.
It's it's different from last year's because I switched two words.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or I added more color to this picture. Assholes.
But for me, when it was just like, oh, you need to have like a book of like Shakespeare plays, I'm like, okay, that's 50 cents. Mm. Awesome.
So yeah, check out the Smoke Ring in Sugarland if you're around, and in Clear Lake if you're around as well. They're really cool guys. I know down here in the Clear Lake area, there's quite a bit of nerds that run that stuff. They're actually wanting... They're asking us to help them set up video game tournaments, which would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And also, last week we mentioned the mixers and elixirs at the Museum of Natural Science. I kind of made a mistake in saying it was the 19th. It's actually Thursday, July 18th. They're doing a little Comic-Con celebration. We're going to try to get to work with them and all that. That should be really cool. And also coming up, we talked about the Amazing Con. That's going to be in here in Houston. That's the Labor Day weekend.
It is
Labor Day weekend. Okay.
Well, they just announced too. They're going to have Joe Rubenstein there.
Yes, Joe Rubenstein, inker for like the Wolverine miniseries.
Yeah.
Of course, Lin Wei, and also Herb. I forgot his last name right now, but they were basically the creators of Wolverine. And mm-hmm. If Ginger is listening to us right now, I know he's
pounding the desk.
Because I have a 181.
Yeah.
And we'll be working with them closely as well. And also the beginning of August is going to bring about the Houston Con. If you're a sci-fi guy, you know, there's a lot of Star Trek there. There's a lot of, I think they have like a huge like Power Ranger presence.
Yeah, they have Power Rangers again. They had a big one last year, but this year they've got even more Power Rangers.
And
I just really want to talk to Tony Todd.
Yeah, Tony Todd, yeah. Candyman.
Candyman, and I mean, for me, like, this is going to seem really weird, but I'm a huge fan of this TV series Chuck. And in the first series, he was the general.
Yep.
Like, he was one of the generals before he blew up. Spoiler alert.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like most people have seen the first season of Chuck at this point through reruns or Netflix or something. Like,
mm-hmm. I'm just laughing still at like, it's like. Oh, Vader was Luke's father. Spoiler alert!
Yeah. Right. Snape afterwards. Killed Dumbledore.
Spoiler alert!
What's a Dumbledore?
Jesus dies in the end.
And then he comes back.
But don't. Shh. That's number two.
Oh, man.
So Mel Gibson would have been able to make that if it hadn't been for the...
shit. Oh. Where's this going? Never mind. Redacted.
So we've been having a lot of fun. We might do these a little bit. Maybe invest in a nicer group microphone so we can actually talk, you know, like live in person.
But you're going to say a nicer group
yeah.
of people.
We already, yeah. we have a... Ryan's got that conference... reporter thing.
Ryan lives too far,
but he does.
We miss you, Ryan.
Yeah, a lot.
I'm sure we can lure him down with the temptation of cigarettes and booze.
Yeah,
or cigars and booze. I'm sorry.
Also, if you haven't picked up St. Arnold's 20th anniversary brew, it's delicious.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. We're drinking that out of teacups, like classy people.
I just finished mine, and it was really good.
Pinky out. Mm.
You want to go look for more more in the bottle?
And there is no more. It's okay.
And then coming up also, we're going to have a lot of changes to the podcast. We have one or two new podcasts that are going to be joining our network. We're going to have a couple of new people that we're rotating out just to fill out, you know, our cast and crew. What else? Also, the Game Dev Jam.
Yes, RPG Maker Game Dev Jam. So we've got, if you are interested in doing that, it's not too late. You've got...
Two months
left. So, like, hopefully we can get more people in doing that. You will get interviewed for the website and on, like, podcasts, and we will play your games. And if you're looking to break into, like, indie game dev in Houston, this is a good chance to do that.
Oh, and not even just that. I mean, like, for our annual Extra Life Marathon... which we've only had 1 year of, but
yeah, but
for our Extra Life Marathon this year, we will be playing some of the RPG Maker games that we get submitted.
Yep.
And also, if you donate to our Extra Life team, we will throw you out a package of the RPG Makers game that have been submitted, yep. So you can try them out on your own.
With other games included in that, too. So
I like the idea.
There's going to be a ton of games for if people that donate to Extra Life. I'm pretty excited.
Correct.
Like, more people should do, like, the game jam stuff, because it reminds me of, like, you know how, like, November is, like, novel writing month?
Yeah.
There should just, July should just be, like, game making month.
I think
like, everyone
really
just,
fun.
Like, gets whatever they can and just, like, makes whatever crappy game they can.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be, like, you know, even if, like, you make a guy, like, walk across a room and it took you, like, 5 weeks to program it.
We should have, like, every three to four months, we should have a different competition to create something.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
So, I mean, it'd be like, create your own comic, create your own game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, like, even if you don't feel that you're skilled at making a comic or making a game or anything, just make anything, because there are people that do it on a professional level that you're probably better at than anyways.
Michael Bay.
And a lot of, like, skill and level of talent and stuff, all of that doesn't matter. What really matters is making something that is interesting.
Well, that's what happened at our panel, Comic Palooza, with the creative zine thing. I was surprised at what happened there, you know. Well, like,
you know, when I think another thing, anytime that you put off your work and you put it in a spotlight and with the right group of people, you have the opportunity to get some good constructive criticism and feedback on that, you know, you probably wouldn't know as a beginner. You know,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know, like, there's some things, there's like, you know, you wait, maybe you should consider this in the future. And, you know, it's a chance to hone your skills and get some good feedback from people that are probably better than you or possibly better than you.
Yeah.
or maybe have a different viewpoint than you do.
I don't know about you guys, but Ryan's Tsundere Kaiju zine that he made in literally 15 minutes at our Create a Zine panel, like 15 minutes, and it wasn't like... He put a whole ton of work into it. It was fun watching him make it because he was just, like, scribbling stuff down real fast. And that is my favorite, like, independently published, like, work this year so far.
That's cool.
Like, it's nuts.
There's so many good pages
in
there.
Yeah. Like, we have it, Erica got to take that home, and we have it displayed, like, in our living room for people to read.
There's even a portable glory hole in it.
God. It's so good.
So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and sign out for this week. It was really a lot of fun because we got to kind of go to locations together and, you know, do this. Thank you once again to the Smoke Ring Clear Lake for, you know, letting us hang out. And also to...
Big shout out to their staff, too. Like,
yeah.
Even if you, like, you've never smoked cigars and you want to, like, just try one, you can go in there and, like, they will basically...
find the perfect thing for you.
Well, also the empanada lady. Thank you to the empanada lady.
Luz, yeah, the empanada lady.
Gracias.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was selling $3 empanadas at the front counter, and we bought a lot of them. And
well, you know, the whole scene, the cigar scene, is pretty intimidating when you come out, you know, as a newbie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you walk in, and there's a humidor that's bigger than, you know, people's garage. And you're like, shit, how do I figure out what I like? Those guys are pretty cool. They'll walk you through it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all right, so what do you like, lighter, darker, exactly, fruitier, you know, whatever. And they're pretty cool. They're nice guys.
Yeah. What I like about them is, like, they don't automatically, like, steer you towards, like, hey, you're going to want this one. This is, like, $15, $20. Like, No, they're very cool about being like, hey, check this one out. This is, like, $4. This is my daily smoke.
Yeah.
You know, like, start off with this one, like, you know.
Yeah, it's more intimidating than going to, like, a Battlestar Galactica, like, convention there.
Plus, like, they'll cut it for you, and then they have lighters, so you can actually smoke it there. So, like, you don't have to, like, sit there and fumble with, like, a cigar cutter. You can.
Who knew lighters could be $120?
Yeah, and it's one of those places, like, if you do decide to smoke it there, time just goes by.
Yeah.
We sat there and
watched.
It's a spa, basically.
Yeah,
it's a spa for dudes.
Yeah.
We watched softball World Cup things and like
apparently it was the World Cup
and
it was the USA versus Canada
and there were like, and it was so good.
I thought it was like a high school game.
I think even though it was just United States and Canada playing that one, that Brazil still managed to get scored on.
Mm-hmm.
There's one person listening to this who's like a Brazilian is saying like fuck Spicini now.
And then unlikes the page.
Just when the tears have dried up, you know?
Yeah. First they play a German song, then they talk about German things, and they like just Brazil.
Yeah, and when that happened, like
thank you,
Shante,
for like not like losing our Brazilian demographic.
When that game was going on, I was at work, I didn't get to watch it, but we were keeping up with the scores at work, and one of the guys I work with, actually my shift supervisor Philip, is half Brazilian. And he was so upset, and we didn't realize how upset he was, so me and the other guy that was working with us, Bryce, we kept like making fun of him a lot, and his girlfriend works next door to us and is really, really super into soccer.
Holy shit.
And she didn't want the results of the game spoiled, because soccer to her is like Game of Thrones, and she's like, I'm gonna go and watch this when I get home, and she comes in and Philip's like really upset, and I just keep like laughing at him, and I've got the like score, and I keep refreshing like the page, and it's like, oh, they got another one.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? They got another one.
Four.
And it was just like really, he was really upset.
Yeah, how the fuck did Germany score a touchdown in a soccer match?
Yeah. I forgot what they like the Brazilians are calling it, because his mom's hometown is actually where the World Cup is taking place right now, and the Brazilians, I forget what their term. They have a special term for this day already.
Yeah, it was. I don't know, the day that the.
We're gonna go ahead and sign off on that.
Cool.
We'll see you guys next week for sure. Have fun and be safe.